Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And are you excited, Cindy?
How many shows do we start off with that? Yes, I am, because I love fall.
We start off that way because if you're not excited, we're not talking about it.
Right, and fall turns into, well, that's true. Fall turns into winter, and so it's all just a good stream of events. I love fall.
Does that mean you only like fall because it like leads you to like wearing sweaters
fall.
Or something?
No, I like fall because it's such a beautiful time of the year, and I like it when it's cool outside and when I can have a fire in the fireplace. You know, I was thinking about the food for the show, and I was also thinking, you know, this is also a really good time of the year to have brunch. Doesn't it seem like you have brunch more in the fall? I don't know. Maybe it's because kids are back in school and everybody's together, and you know, maybe I don't know. It's just more family activity. It seems like in the fall. I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, I always feel like brunch in the fall, more so than any other time of the year.
Brunch is all fall.
And also, you know, we're talking about coming to a different time of the harvest year.
Well, we're in the sweet spot. We're in the place where the last summer things, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, those tomatoes are fine for cooking, but they're not really great for a whole lot of other stuff. All of the things are kind of together. You still will have some eggplants and some peppers and a few summer products are still there. The beans that are kind of the thing that is the precursor of a lot of the fall harvest that are great with so many different other things from the fall, like a lot of the mushrooms that will come when the rains start and all that sort of business.
Yeah, I was going through Joël Robuchon's.
Mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, I was going through one of his cookbooks this morning and I saw his page with seps or what's known as porcini mushrooms, and that just made me really excited about fall because I cannot wait until we get seps.
Well, mushrooms are great. It's almost like living in a fairy tale land or a cartoon or something. You know, you expect little wizards and elves
fairies
and things to come
all kinds
jumping
of
around.
Wonderful.
I wish a wizard would clean all of the mushrooms
right.
for me.
Right, yeah, well, that's the thing. Porcini's, any natural, you know, any wild mushroom is growing in sandy, you know, sort of sandy, dirty soil with there's going to be bugs and all kinds of things in there and pine needles, and
all right, so
you really do have to clean them well.
Let's actually get organized besides being excited.
Okay.
And let's talk about some fall dishes and fall products and things that you wait. One of the things about cooking with the seasons that is really cool is that you get excited and you think about from last October until this October, what is it that you wanted to do that you couldn't get to, that you would have fixed, that you would have adjusted, that would be, you know, like a new version of, oh, I did this. I always think, how many people love butternut squash soup?
Yes.
You know, how many people love pumpkin risotto? Like every year, you know, it's one of those things that seems ubiquitous, but there's a way to do it better, to improve it, to make it more exciting, to roast the pumpkin in a better way, to choose a different kind of pumpkin. There's so many different pumpkins that you can cook.
Yeah.
Not the jack-o'-lantern kind of guys. Those are not good cooking pumpkins. But what is the number one dish that you've been thinking about, like from last, you know, Thanksgiving, that you're like, oh, this thing, I should have gotten it done in the fall?
I make butternut squash and andouille sausage and white bean risotto, and I just started making it for the first time this season. And I just made it actually before we came in.
And the white beans are very good this year.
Oh my gosh. And the thing is that that risotto has a tremendous amount of flavor between obviously all the spices and the pork flavor of the andouille sausage, and then the sort of inherent sweetness of the, I do a brunoise or small dice of the butternut squash, and the cocoa beans I cook in a lot of smoky bacon. And I add lemon juice to it now. And the other, so that's one of the things I've changed because of all the competition of richness and flavors on your palate. I think I've never put acid in it before. I also added rosemary to it this time. And I used the broth from the beans as well as some light chicken stock. And I've never done that. And it just makes it all the more creamy, which of course makes sense because there's good starch in the bean broth. But I do cook the beans first. They have probably about a 2-2.5 hour cook time. And then and I cook them in a lot of bacon and a little bit of onion and light chicken stock and Tabasco. And when they have finally become soft or edible, that's when I begin to make my risotto. And it turned out really, really well. I'm very happy with it. And I like that bit of perfume from the rosemary and definitely that balance of acid. And that's one of the few times when I make risotto where I don't add any cheese to it at all. It's just not appropriate for those ingredients.
Well, it's already so creamy from the additional starch and the one of the interesting things about that dish when I've had your version of it before is having the little contrast between the two starches, how the one is just earthier than the other and has a different tone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun, and I'm serving it with pork confit, and it's just to have those beautiful tender pieces of pork on top and that wonderful risotto. I really love that dish. It's definitely something that signals the beginning. I mean, I made like 8 menu changes this morning, and I'm just really, 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 really excited about it.
A couple of nights in the 50s. That'll,
that's it. That's all it takes for me.
That'll do it. It stimulates you to do different things.
Yeah, definitely. We just made Concord grape sorbet this morning, and
They're coming, and they're not a big crop this year on those guys.
I will say that I just got some corn, and I'm not sure exactly where it came from, but it was absolutely delicious. I'm sure it wasn't local, but it was really, really good. So I was kind of excited about still, you know, getting some kind of amazing
corn into the into the season. Yeah, there are a lot of autumnal things I want to have with polenta. So, it's like those last peppers that you have from the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, even just eggs. I mean, just, you know, some kind of a Basquez version of, stewed peppers, a pepercad.
Yeah.
With the very last peppers of the summer. And some, it could be butternut squash. It could be some other, sweet something and a little bit of whole corn worked in with the polenta and just a couple of poached eggs. And that's... It sounds like there's your brunch dish. Since you're brunching this fall,
that would be a very good brunch dish. I was also reading Edna Lewis's book and in Pursuit of Flavor, and it's one of my favorite cookbooks. I think probably just because it helped me to develop as a Southern chef.
Oh, so honest
it is, and her stories are very beautiful and interesting. And I met her when she was working in South Carolina, and she was an extraordinary woman, and. She was talking about when she was a little girl in Virginia, how they didn't start school until the beginning of October. And I assume that was because all the kids had to help with the farming and bring in the harvest. And she was talking about how they would stay up all night and study when they finally did get to school and eat apples all night. And she would just talk about all the things that were coming into harvest, how peanuts would come in and when they would dig up the first sweet potatoes. And it really made me reflect on the Southern food that I greatly love and really appreciate this moment in this time of the year.
Well, there's a joy in the harvest. I can't go, and even for, that's my family is small. I can't go and buy 2 apples. I end up with a crate of Honeycrisp apples and stand there and eat one every morning at the at the kitchen. So, I don't know what else to do. You're like, oh my God, they're good this year.
Yeah, the Honeycrisps are amazing.
Really, really good this year.
Yeah, we also made sorbet from that. And oh gosh, just absolutely pretty. Pretty, pretty, pretty. Tasted exactly like Honeycrisp apple. Isn't that funny?
tricky that.
Yeah, really.
Really tricky.
Wow.
Really tricky. Food that actually tastes like what it's supposed to taste like. I have a distinct fantasy about Honeycrisp apples this fall, besides eating one every morning at the kitchen sink.
Right.
There's a salad that once upon a time that I think I did a version for you of a Belgian endive in the great Dijon mustard vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple and lots of fresh herbs, and that's that.
Yeah.
End of story.
Sounds
good. A little tiny bit of shallot in the vinaigrette, just enough to give it some zip.
Yeah. Nice and refreshing.
I was standing at the kitchen sink, of course, eating one of these apples, thinking, I could sliver these guys, and I could sliver the endive and make this big, ridiculous, fluffy salad of the bitter endive.
I like that word.
The bitter endive and the apple, and mixed with the herbs dressed with that dressing would be just
Say again, what was
awesome.
In the dressing?
It's just a Dijon mustard vinaigrette. So
yeah, mustard,
Dijon
shallots.
Mustard, a little more shallot than you would normally use.
Yeah. Yeah.
But very, very fine. I mean,
corn oil or olive oil?
Use a grater.
Probably corn oil, huh?
Yeah, you want something pretty neutral, I think.
Olive oil would be too strong.
I end up using grapeseed a lot of times.
Yeah.
That's a nice neutral. It has a little bounce to it.
Mm-hmm.
Salt that has a little flavor, a little bit of sea salt, not just, iodized. But the was thinking you could do that, but is that its own thing? Is it a side dish to something? You know, is it that? I always think when I picture it, I think about that restaurant in Paris in the first arrondissement, Chez Georges. Like, oh, this would have been a Chez Georges dish.
Yeah, but it would have been enough for four people to eat.
In a giant piece of pottery.
Bowl, right, yeah.
It would have stuck it on, just slammed it on your table with a big spoon.
It would have been amazing. Everything they make is delicious.
But you could have done, you could do the grilled turbot on the bone.
Yes.
With a béarnaise sauce.
Yum.
And do a side of this.
Yeah, that salad would be nice, you know, on the side of that.
And like a side of pommes gratin. And
This just gets better and better all the time.
And there's also a fine brunch dish.
I do have a recipe for, actually, and this is directly from Edna Lewis's book, so it's such a good recipe. It's sour milk griddle cakes, and so this continues with the brunch
theme. I just want to hear her say it in her voice, and her Southern Virginia accent, really slowly.
It's a cup and a half of sifted flour, half a cup of whole wheat flour, half a teaspoon of salt, half a teaspoon of baking powder. She used to use something called royal baking powder, and she puts two teaspoons of that in, one egg beaten, one tablespoon of melted butter, and two cups of either sour cream or buttermilk. And it's a perfect pancake recipe. And she talks about how she loved to make blueberry preserves or just even blueberry puree, and how she liked the combination of blueberries with maple syrup and these particular pancakes. And it's simple, but it really is quite delicious. And so that's it. And royal baking powder, I don't know if it's available. She even mentions it, and this book was written many years ago, that it wasn't available at the time of the writing of her book. So I don't know if it's resurfaced, but it is. She suggests that if you can't find that you do cream of tartar and baking soda instead of that product. But there's that.
Sounds really sweet. And really good.
Well, and you know, I mean, it's almost like you want to make a list of what the fall things are. You know, it's almost like poetry.
For your brunch, the things we've come up with in our first segment today are the egg dish with the polenta,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that fish with the béarnaise, and the salad with the endive and the apples.
Mm-hmm.
And the sour milk griddle cakes.
Yeah.
I think you serve those griddle cakes first. And then you do.
It's going pretty well this brunch.
And then you do the eggs and the fish. And
what
everything.
Are we drinking with all this?
Well, that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah. You know how my mind works. Starts in the cellar, right? It's better than the gutter.
Indeed.
Let's hope so. I mean, Alsace wine is the first thing I think of for that kind of thing. But it's really, really, really hard not to think champagne. And it's really, really hard not to think champagne that spent some time in a wooden vessel during some of its fermentation.
Okay.
So maybe Bollinger, maybe Gonet-Medeville, one of the Blanc de Noir's great, rich, moussey stuff.
How do you spell that?
Gonet, G-O-N-E-T, dash, M-E-D-E, V-I-L-L-E.
Okay.
It's all those hyphenated names have to do with French inheritance systems. And
sure.
And marriage is bringing like two vineyard sites together, and then they have one house together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's... I definitely drink those kinds of things. If not that, Alsace wine. You know, big, big, plump Pinot Gris. Maybe one of the 13s, 12, 13. Both
sounds
good vintages.
Okay.
One sunnier, one cleaner. But the Pinot Gris has that smoky apple character. And you can scale it up or down on price depending upon what's really available to spend. So it sounds like a pretty solid brunch.
I think that works out pretty well.
Sounds like a long day brunch, but a really good day.
And kind of filling, but should be fun.
That's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, maybe we'll get Chef Cindy Wolf to discuss the mysterious sweet potato on WIPR.
Mm-hmm.